Chapter 5, Shark Tales from the Entrepreneurs.
The Entrepreneur, Ellie Brown. The Product, Everywhere's Sticky Ties. The Episode, Season 6, Episode 7. Scott asked, "What are the most important things you learned from your Shark Tank experience?" Never rely on Shark Tank to make or break your business. Don't assume that great sales will make the sharks excited. Our sales are so much better than the lion's share of entrepreneurs, but somehow our Achilles heel was exposed from the get-go. I have a conspiracy theory on that. Beware of the gang mentality that ensues after airing. On our episode, we were panned for our products and Mark Cuban bought the entire company from us. The trolls and media have a we're with the sharks mentality. No matter how much you prepare, which is such a great thing that every business should go through, expect the unexpected. Hope that you don't have to appear when the sharks are tired after a long day. Do you have any advice for someone who wants to appear on Shark Tank? Be succinct and business-focused, yet find a balance. This is a TV show, and there has to be a hook for it to air. Are you funny? Emotional? Successful? Quirky? Whatever it is, don't forget the fundamental. This is your chance to showcase your business, but keep John Q. Public interested. Never assume that your product is so great that you will sail through. You're working with professionals and must know all aspects of your business to be legitimized. Be ready for the big personalities. The sharks are making television interesting too, so be ready to accept that sharks will be playing the role of sharks. Don't drone on. Be succinct and effective. You will get punched and cornered. As soon as you feel this happening, spin it. Change your direction and never let them get in your head. Would you go on the show if you knew then what you know now? Absolutely. One would be short-sighted to pass on this and wonder, what if? What happened to you, your business, after your episode aired? Not much. We did about 3,000 that night and have grown our online sales by about 500%. But according to Cuban's head of biz development, we should have done 30K. Even with our $4 to $8 price point, yeah, no. We didn't close the deal. We were disenchanted. In what ways did appearing on Shark Tank help your business? Sales grew, connections grew, but not in any way we anticipated. Kind of the most disappointing scenario. If you invested all the time and energy that you did in Shark Tank in your business instead of doing ST, do you think you would have been further ahead? No, we gave this our all. We had buyers eating out of our hands and placement wherever we wanted. We had crappy sell-through. We knew we had to address the POS. Knew we couldn't do it without money. We were seeking solutions to that during ST. But I gotta be honest, I am so thankful we weren't working at trade shows at the fevered pitch we were prior to prepping for ST. I do not know how we could have juggled that. Any other comments you want us or the world to know? It's unfortunate that our edit pinned us as the sisters with one idea, the sticky tie. They had no idea that we have a rich pipeline of products and very successful lines within our umbrella. They don't know that as we speak, our concepts are on the fans at Lowe's planogram for reusable fan blade stickers. They don't know that we have turned down licensing deals to pursue our dreams. We wouldn't just hand a major player our ideas in exchange for 5%. Bad deal. The reception from airing does not match up at all to our reception to buyers. But people need to know how very expensive it is to go to a trade show when sell-through isn't where you want it to be yet. We still know that we have a very novel, innovative line of premium stickers that you will likely never know about. We're jaded. Our dad has Parkinson's, our kids need us, and we are sick of working our asses off for idiot viewers to respond how they have. The Entrepreneur, Romy Taormina. The Product, Cybands. The Episode, Season 4, Episode 18. What are the most important things you learned from your Shark Tank experience? While I thought I had thick skin, I realized I did not. And from this experience came a truly powerful and enlightening realization and lesson that as long as I feel I'm always doing my best to do good by others, then there are no regrets. With this mindset, I can still care what others think of me, but their opinions can never define me or my values. This liberating insight allowed me to grow as a person and as a businesswoman. It propelled me with even greater focus and determination to focus on our core mission to make a positive difference in people's health. Do you have any advice for someone who wants to appear on Shark Tank? Be very clear in your objectives when going into the tank so that you do not impulsively make decisions in the moment. Would you go on the show if you knew then what you know now? Yes. What happened to you or your business after your episode aired? Sales exceeded 6 figures in the month we aired. Since the airing, we have landed new retail accounts, expanded our door count at key retailers, developed sustaining and supportive relationships with other Shark Tank entrepreneurs, and developed a fulfilling partnership with the National Breast Cancer Foundation. In what ways did appearing on Shark Tank help your business? It was an amazing opportunity to build brand awareness, drive sales, and develop key partnerships. If you invested all the time and energy that you did in Shark Tank in your business instead of doing ST, do you think you would have been further ahead? No.
The Entrepreneur, Mark. The Product, Qubits Season and Episode. The Episode, Season 1, Episode 10, or 13, depending on the source. What are the most important things you learned from your Shark Tank experience? That you can meet some very cool friends who would share their last joint. Do you have any advice for someone who wants to appear on Shark Tank? Go for it if you get selected. Don't kill yourself trying to get selected. Would you go on the show if you knew then what you know now? Perhaps. I would know a lot more going in. Their suspense would be gone and the pitch probably would not make it to air. What happened to you or your business after your episode aired? We were motivated to show the sharks that we have a product that can make a big difference. I learned from other ST alum, and this helped us focus efforts. In what ways did appearing on Shark Tank help your business? It has just morphed over the years. Now it's not such a big deal. I am mostly told that I should try to get my product on Shark Tank. That's when I know our appearance was not gaining traction. I blame that on ABC. Hundreds of other products have been shown on the ST stage. I took my original presentation in a suitcase. Now I could use a dump truck in the Los Angeles School District for little builders. If you invested all the time and energy that you did in Shark Tank in your business instead of doing Shark Tank, do you think you would have been further ahead? I didn't give Shark Tank any special time. After they called me, it was just 2 weeks, then I flew to LA. Any other comments you want us or the world to know? If you think that getting on Shark Tank is so special, you will sincerely be caught off guard as to what we do next.
The Entrepreneur, Cheryl Rigdon. The Product, Rigdon Creative Solutions LLC / Spatty. Spatty Daddy, Extend Your Beauty Cosmetic Tool. The Episode, Season 4, Episode 5. What are the most important things you learned from your Shark Tank experience? I learned that a business plan is important to have. I learned that even if you only have a prototype, people will pre-order products that they really want. Do you have any advice for someone who wants to appear on Shark Tank? Know your numbers about your business. Don't put all your hopes and dreams on making a deal with the sharks. I did not get a deal and my business is doing great. Would you go on the show if you knew then what you know now? Yes. What happened to you or your business after your episode aired? I got enough money in pre-orders to pay for my mold, my first run of products, and packaging. I was able to get my business off the ground. In what ways did appearing on Shark Tank help your business? It got my business started. I would not have had the money without the pre-orders I got from airing on Shark Tank to get my mold and products made. If you invested all the time and energy that you did in Shark Tank in your business instead of doing ST, do you think you would have been further ahead? No.
The Entrepreneur, Mike Robinson. The Product, Cuddle Tunes. The Episode, Season 4, Episode 16. What are the most important things you learned from your Shark Tank experience? The big surprise discovery for me was what a huge difference the producers can make in the segment by controlling the edit. Even if you don't do or say anything stupid, they can find a way to make you and your product look bad if the sharks don't invest. In my case, they added a tag to the segment that I know was scripted or prompted by producers after I left the tank. Do you have any advice for someone who wants to appear on Shark Tank? Remember that this is a TV show and it is only about ratings and audience. The entire show's brand is based on the image that the sharks are business geniuses. For that reason, you want to get an offer and deal on camera. If you get a deal, the producers have to edit your segment to make you and your product look good. If you don't get a deal, their motivation is to make you look bad. This is not about raising funds or getting one or more sharks involved in your business. It is about getting a positive segment that airs to 7 million viewers plus reruns. My advice? Come up with some reason to ask for $50,000 for 20%. Get a deal and accept it on camera, then don't close it. We all know that most of the deals don't close, and the producers don't care whether a deal closes or not. They just want good TV. Would you go on the show if you knew then what you know now? I would, and I would follow my own advice above. My main error was being too focused on getting a fair and reasonable valuation. The truth is that your valuation on camera doesn't matter because you don't have to close the deal after the cameras are off. What happened to you or your business after your episode aired? We got a small bump in traffic the week it aired, but nothing off the charts and nothing that was worth the amount of effort we put into doing the tank. I blame this on the negative edit and the fact that our segment aired in February when we really needed to be in the Christmas buying season. In what ways did appearing on Shark Tank help your business? It's a nice badge to say you went through it and made the cut to get on the show, but in our case, that's about all. I know other tankers have gotten much leverage out of it, but for us, it has not been that huge. If you invested all the time and energy that you did in Shark Tank in your business instead of doing Shark Tank, do you think you would have been further ahead? Yes. We invested a great deal of time and energy, and we were counting on having a positive segment make air and fall when people are buying kids' toys. Instead, we got a negative spin, and it didn't air until February. We would have been better off if we had put all that effort into a direct marketing campaign that fall.
The Entrepreneur, Aaron Bickley, and Jenny Greer. The Product, Hold Your Haunches. The Episode, Season 5, Episode 19. Do you have any advice for someone who wants to appear on Shark Tank? Do your homework and research. Do not go in overvaluing your company, as that's the fastest way to be eviscerated by the panel. Remember, all deals are subject to change per the sharks or the entrepreneur. Would you go on the show if you knew then what you know now? Absolutely. What happened to you or your business after your episode aired? We sold everything we had in 72 hours and did it again when the rerun aired in November. In what ways did appearing on Shark Tank help your business? Exposure and credibility as a brand. If you invested all the time and energy that you did in the Shark Tank in your business instead of doing ST, do you think you would have been further ahead? No, but we will say due to all the time and effort we put into ST, we believe that it is best for two types of businesses. Either one, a company that is very early like us, and the owner's families are not depending on its revenue for food. Two, a business that is in the position to have employees manage the company while the owners prepare. Any other comments you want us or the world to know? Jenny and I were two housewives of a certain age in Macon, Georgia. We created a product that we wanted and that we knew would be a tremendous seller if only we could somehow let women know it actually existed. With limited resources, money, time, knowledge base, we were at a crossroads, and along came Shark Tank. The fact that the producers took a chance on two Southern women with a not-so-sexy product will be something for which we are forever grateful. And it paid off. For everybody, just as we knew it would. Every experience is different but good. Bad or ugly, 10-plus minutes of national airtime? Yes, please. We went into the tank knowing no one could make more fun of us than we could make of ourselves. So the fear factor was nil. The two of us marched on in and discussed our own personal less-than-stellar backsides in front of God and what would eventually be everybody. We have zero regrets and would do it again in a nanosecond. Hell, maybe we should pitch our next prototype to ABC. We envision tending to middle-aged boobs. Hold your honkers. The Entrepreneur, Amy Baxter. The Product, Buzzy for Pain Relief. The Episode, Season 5, Episode 18. What are the most important things you learned from your Shark Tank experience? The sharks were absolutely right. Better to work within the healthcare realm with a device that controls injection pain than trying to let the public know with no advertising dollars. We've changed our strategy. I've also learned my own numbers and a lot about valuation, the time preparing for the show. But the biggest lesson is that you won't get the once-in-a-lifetime win just from being on the show. It will raise the base for a while, but success is incremental. Being on national TV doesn't change that. Do you have any advice for someone who wants to appear on Shark Tank? I wanted to get across that Buzzy works best for adult pain, and not just needles. The producers talked me out of presenting our adult model and wanted me to deviate from my two big messages. Number one, needle fear is pervasive. Number two, adults don't have to suffer in silence. They talked me out of starting with the adult product out and visible, which was a big mistake. If you're on, don't take their advice if it goes against your primary benefits from being on the show. Would you go on the show if you knew then what you know now? Absolutely. I was surprised how exhilarating it was. I knew my numbers, learned so much, and had a huge mental bungee jump. Also very surprised that there were healthy live orchids all over the set and at how nice the crew were. In what ways did appearing on Shark Tank help your business? I'm functioning at a higher level because of the need to be more comfortable with my spreadsheets. Our sales were 100-fold what they were the previous year, and that lift was sustained for half a year. What were the odds? We found that 3% of people don't feel much change with Buzzy. Fortunately, those people tend to be people who don't mind shots anyway. Maybe they already only sense a 2/10, so 1/10 pain isn't big enough to notice? Regardless, there are studies where 97% of children using Buzzy say their procedure was better than previous, and we know exactly how many adults and kids say their flu shots are painless with Buzzy, 84% and 60%. So, low odds. And even if one of the sharks was being snarky, knowing we have a device that works for most people, I figured I was set even for the worst case scenario. Let her roll. Think of how many people Buzzy could help. Besides, the experienced junkie in me couldn't wait to drive around the Hollywood Sony lot on a golf cart and tell everyone, ciao. After consulting with numerous people, we arrived at a valuation that seemed fair. I went in ready to negotiate to that number, but started at a percentage of equity that would give us a valuation more than double, so I'd have room to move. In Shark Tank, you can only negotiate ownership, not the dollar amount you request. After about 90 minutes of wrangling, the sharks weren't close to the valuation I knew was accurate, so I left offers on the table and said no thank you. What did I learn? First, I've since learned that many deals made on TV actually don't go through in the same terms or at all. I could have accepted the deal on camera with reservations and basked in the goodwill that comes from playing nicely with the sharks. That would also have opened up the chance for a Where Are They Now segment, which also carries great benefits for the company. However, being disingenuous isn't my style, so I wouldn't do this differently. Second, I realized too late that even though all the sharks were asking questions simultaneously, all my answers were being captured on different cameras. I should have taken my time answering and answered fully only the question I most wanted to when all of them were speaking at once. I practiced my pitch until I could do it standing on my head, but should have practiced fully answering questions to a clamoring crowd. Finally, the sharks were insistent that this not be offered to individuals, only doctors. When I started this business, I thought the same thing. Doctors are going to love offering this to their patients. The sad truth is, most needle procedures are done by nurses, and nurses often don't get to make the purchasing decisions. What's more, Buzzy requires 30 to 60 seconds wait time, and often that's enough to make a busy healthcare worker decide to just do the procedure. We can be pretty stoic about patients' pain. There are two parts to this, though, and in one way, we're taking the shark's advice completely. On the one hand, everybody hurts. If you can block needle pain, dull pain from aches and injuries is easy. We still think individuals need Buzzy, but are moving more to the itching and aching uses for over-the-counter that have broader applications. The doctors who do care about pain a lot are the ones who give their own shots, particularly for optional procedures, Botox fillers, minor surgery, and laser procedures. Offering pain relief makes your patient directly grateful to you. The sharks were right. So we went to the dermatology show and sold out of all the types of our Buzzy Mini that we brought. Finally, although it didn't make the airwaves, the sharks were pushing for a higher-priced disposable part. They're not alone. every investor we've ever entertained pushes for a Gillette model, where the razor is cheap and unique, but the blades are disposable and pricey. I don't deny this is a better business model. However, at the end of the day, I didn't leave full-time medicine and academic research to make more money. I did it to make a difference. There are some lessons you can choose not to learn, but I had a great experience and would do it again. Ciao. If you invested all the time and energy that you did in Shark Tank in your business instead of doing ST, do you think you would have been further ahead? I think the month after ST was a waste dealing with all the remora that wants to feed on the remains of the entrepreneurs, but I'd do it again. Any other comments you want us or the world to know? There are some things in life that you shouldn't turn down. A free trip to Jamaica, a dinner invitation with philosophers visiting from another country, and a chance to be on Shark Tank. Sure, all three may have risks, and the possibility exists of feeling uncomfortable or insecure. To enjoy life, one must take big bites. So I decided to go on Shark Tank. Going in, I had to decide what my goal was and what the worst thing that could happen would be. My goal was easy. I wanted to raise awareness of a fear of needles. True story. My goal really wasn't to sell more buzzies or to get a free 7-minute ad on national television. Both of those were more secondary goals. But really, as a physician, I wanted the world to be more aware that the way we're giving shots is making people afraid of getting healthcare. Buzzy is a small part of a much bigger picture. After the needle phobia awareness goal, the second thing I wanted was to make a deal. My hope was to partner with someone with an established conduit to retail sales of an over-the-counter medical device. As a profitable company already, I had secured a line of credit for most of what I went on Shark Tank to finance. More inventory, marketing, and moving our fulfillment out of my basement. But partnering with someone who already had similar products on the market would jumpstart getting buzzy to the people who need them. Balancing out these goals was, what is the worst that could happen? I decided that if I could, I'd give a shark a shot. Hypothetically, the worst thing that could happen was the shark would say, "Whoa, that hurts worse than any shot I've ever gotten."
The entrepreneur, Tony Devine. The product, Original Pro Fender. The episode, Season 3, Episode 8. What are the most important things you learned from your Shark Tank experience? Negotiate. Don't think that the airing of the show will be enough to catapult your business into the stratosphere. Do you have any advice for someone who wants to appear on Shark Tank? If you really need a deal, don't leave there without one. Would you go on the show if you knew then what you know now? Absolutely. Great exposure, fun, great icebreaker when selling. What happened to you or your business after your episode aired? My business tripled, but without that continuous presence, it went back to where I was prior to the show. If you invested all the time and energy that you did in Shark Tank in your business instead of doing Shark Tank, do you think you would have been further ahead? No, it's tough being a one-man band. It was great for my business, so I have no qualms about the Shark Tank. Any other comments you want us or the world to know? You know you're an entrepreneur when you get more excited about a sale than you do about sex. True statement. The entrepreneur, Steven Session. The product, Zero Shoes. The episode, Season 4, Episode 13. What are the most important things you learned from your Shark Tank experience? When we taped the show, my answer would have been, we got a deeper understanding of our business, our products, our personal goals, and what it would take to achieve them because of the preparation we did for the show. By spending a lot of time to determine our valuation, talking to bankers, other footwear brands who'd receive capital, VCs, PE firms, etc., we got a better sense of where we were in the grand scheme of things. After the fact, the biggest thing I've learned is the value of having the best, simplest story about your product possible. If people can't easily see themselves using and loving your product, it doesn't matter how good you think the product is, or even how good it really is. Plus, your story will evolve, both as you understand the product better, as you get feedback from customers, and as the market environment changes. You can't stick to what you want reality to look like. You need to change to adapt to reality, while still keeping a strong and consistent brand message. Do you have any advice for someone who wants to appear on Shark Tank? 1. Watch the show. Study the show. Be able to answer every question that you hear asked. Seriously. I can't tell you how many people tell me they're fans of the show, and then when I ask the basic shark questions like, what's your trailing 12-month revenue? What are your COGS? What's your profit? They either don't know or don't want to say. The show has tacit rules that you must understand and follow. 2. Nobody cares that you are passionate or that you'll work harder than anyone else. Every entrepreneur is a passionate and a workaholic. What makes your business successful is a good product and a marketing team that you can implement and the cash to support your growth. 3. Do not even bother trying to get on the show if you're only doing it for the publicity. Aside from the fact that the producers can spot that from a mile away, the sharks will eat you alive if they sense that's what's going on. And trust me, you don't want to be chum. 4. The sharks rarely include growth into valuation, as in, almost never. So don't think that you'll be the first one to convince them that next year we'll do $10 million, so our valuation is $20 million. Unless, of course, you have a purchase order for $10 million from somewhere. 5. Be very clear where your yes and no are regarding valuation. It's hard to think about numbers in real time, so know exactly what is and isn't okay for you. Would you go on the show if you knew then what you know now? I would totally do the show now, knowing what I do. In fact, if we were able to do the show now, it would be worth at least 5 times what it was when we aired. Why? With our expanded product line at airing, all we had was a somewhat tricky DIY sandal making kit and way improved website. Our original one crashed hard on both the airing and repeat. We would easily make 5 times the sales. What happened to you or your business after your episode aired? We sold over 3,000 pairs of Zero shoes in the first week. I didn't sleep for 3 days. In fact, on the 3rd day, I literally fell asleep at my desk, and I have a standing desk. In what ways did appearing on Shark Tank help your business? Since we turned down Kevin's offer, we've been raising capital, and our appearance on the show has been better than any investment memorandum we could write. It shows investors what we look like under pressure, and happily, even with the edit we got, we look good. Being on the show gave us extra credibility with customers as well. And I'll confess, I enjoy being semi-famous. I can't remember the last time I was in a crowded public space without being recognized, and it's fun to talk about the show. If you invested all the time and energy that you did in Shark Tank in your business instead of doing Shark Tank, do you think you would have been further ahead? It definitely took a lot of time and effort, but the most important thing for us wasn't being on the show. It was all the work that we put into preparing for the show. At that point, our business was barely more than a hobby. Granted, a hobby that grossed $675,000 in 2 years with a 90% margin. But preparing for the show made us think very hard about our plans for the future and our strategy for getting there. It made us look hard at our lives and our business in a way we hadn't done before. And that was worth millions. Some of the feedback we got from the sharks motivated us to accelerate the development of new products, one of which we just launched and is a total game changer. The response to our new Z-Trek is taking us to a whole new level. Any other comments you want us or the world to know? It's possible to be eaten alive on the show and still become a millionaire by being on it. I coached an entrepreneur who had almost no sales, an easy-to-copy product, no business experience, and an insane valuation. I told him that he would be attacked viciously by the sharks, but if he could learn to do 2 things, he'd get rich from the show. 1. Honestly agree with every criticism. That is, when they say you're an idiot, be able to find the truth of that inside yourself so there's no argument. You may be an idiot, or you may have been in the past. Given that, you can agree with them. 2. State the simple truth. In my client's case, you're right. I don't know about the things you're saying. All I know is that during my last semester in college, when I should have been partying every night, I invented a product that solves a problem for me, my family, and 6.5 million other people. And I'm here to get your help getting this product out to them. He wouldn't close the deal, most likely, but all the people who had that problem would flock to his website. Now, this seems to contradict my "don't do the show for publicity" comment above. It doesn't, because he really wanted to be on the show and really wanted a deal, but it was highly unlikely. Oh, and at the last minute, they decided not to have him tape an episode.
The Entrepreneur? Shelley Eller, the product, Show No Towels, the episode, Season 3, Episode 4. Before we get into the interview, a quick comment from Scott. In the Shark Tank entrepreneur community, it seems like everyone knows Shelley. She has a great story, a giving personality, and although parts of her experience went down negative paths, she has written her own happy ending. Let's be honest, she was put through the ringer. Where she wound up was even more incredible than she could have imagined. This extended, free-flowing interview with Shelley takes us on that amazing journey. What are the most important things you learned from your Shark Tank experience? Number one, to never attach to an outcome. Things might not look like you think they are going to look, but that doesn't mean they're wrong. Be grateful for what comes and keep going. Number two, to never give my power away. Number three, when you fall, learn the lesson, say thank you, and get back up. Do you have any advice for someone who wants to appear on Shark Tank? If you want to be on the show for exposure, then go for it. It's important to know what you are getting yourself into. Shark Tank is an edited reality TV show, and most of what you see on TV never happens. So as long as you go into it with your eyes wide open, knowing what it is and what it is not, then you will be okay. It's when you believe what you see on TV and you let your heart get involved where you can run into problems. I know from personal experience. Would you go on the show if you knew then what you know now? Absolutely, but I would do things differently. I would take it for what it was and not what I wanted it to be. My episode was hyped with a happily ever after, and I completely bought into it. When that didn't happen, I was crushed. That being said, being on Shark Tank has opened a lot of doors for me and set me on a new direction in my life. I'm extremely grateful to the show and feel blessed to have been selected. What happened to you or your business after your episode aired? The exposure was incredible. I got tons of offers to distribute my product worldwide, but the problem was I had no product. Even though I received a deal on the show, I did not get the funding, and it was a tremendous financial hardship. It's expensive to be on TV. After the hype of the show wore down, I stopped trying to make my fairy tale come true and dealt with the realities of running a small business on my own and doing what I was capable of doing. I sell primarily to privately owned swim schools and have been successful. Personally, I started a career as a motivational speaker, and I'm currently working on a book appropriately titled Throwing in the Towel. In what ways did appearing on Shark Tank help your business? I have a very simple product, and to some, it may seem silly. The greatest thing Shark Tank did for my business was it validated my product. After the show, my towels sold themselves. No matter where I go, people know my product because of the show, and it's pretty awesome. If you invested all the time and energy that you did in Shark Tank in your business instead of doing ST, do you think you would have been further ahead? I put so much time and energy and heart and soul into Shark Tank, but I don't regret it. I don't think that time would have been better spent because every time my episode airs, and it has re-aired dozens of times, I get free advertising to millions of people. I could never have possibly afforded that type of exposure. Shark Tank is a roller coaster. The ride up can be so exhilarating, but the coming down can be quite terrifying. You don't know where the tracks are taking you, and you twist and turn, shoot up high, drop down low, and sometimes scream, "Let me off!" It is not for the faint of heart, so if you choose to ride, buckle in tight. Tell us a little more about your business before Shark Tank. I had the idea in 2010. I was at the pool with my kids, and when it was time to leave and they wanted to change into dry clothes, my oldest son asked me to wrap a beach towel around him so that he could have a tent around him to change in privacy. So, while I was holding his tent, my younger son, who was about 4 at the time, started having a fit because he wanted me to hold his towel too, and I couldn't hold both towels at once. I was telling him, "Just wait your turn, just hang on." My son started melting down and I started melting down. I had a migraine headache at the time and I thought, there's got to be something easier. And I remember thinking that I wish I had something that I could just put over them that would rest on their shoulders and drape over them, and then I could help them change. It would be so much easier, but I didn't know of such a thing, and I had never seen such a thing. It was an interesting thought. That night, I slept on it, and at 4 a.m., my eyes shot open, and an idea surged through me like a bolt of electricity. I remember thinking, if I took a towel and put a slit in it, They could wear it like a poncho. It's a changing towel. It's a poncho. It's a shono. It was so exciting. How did you develop your idea into a product? I literally had a prototype by 6 a.m. that morning because I know how to sew. Did you immediately think of Shark Tank to bring your product to the world? A friend from college suggested that I check out Shark Tank, and when I watched it, I thought, I would never do something like that. I'm sitting here, I'm watching these people on TV, these entrepreneurs get ripped to pieces. Their ideas may be brilliant, or it may be stupid. They haven't made enough money, they know nothing about business. And I'm petrified because I know nothing about business either. I'm an elementary school teacher. I came up with an idea for a towel with a hole in it. I have not made any money on this. And my friend wanted me to go on the show. I didn't want to look like a complete idiot. So I called her. I said, "You're nuts. There's no way I would do that." And she said, "No, no, I really, really think you should. They would really, really like you. You do really well. I can see it. I can see it. You should do it." She would start texting me about it once a week. "Have you applied to Shark Tank?" And I'd write back, "Leave me alone." We'd go back and forth all the time for maybe 8 months. Even then, I didn't pursue it. I got my product on the Today Show by sending towels to a segment to the fourth hour of the Today Show, Hoda and Kathy Lee. There's a segment called Bobby's Buzz, and Bobby Thomas featured her favorite products. I sent her a sample and didn't hear anything back. But 3 months later, I got a phone call from the Today Show, and they said, "We're doing a segment called Moms with Good Ideas, and we'd like to show your towels." I thought, this is my big break. This is going to be it. Oh my God, what am I going to do? I have no product. I'm sewing all of these items. How will I be able to keep up? My website is going to crash. I mean, I was just freaking out. When it aired a couple of days later, nothing really happened. I probably got in 5 orders. I think the segment sold 20 towels. I was so disappointed and I thought, what happened? This isn't what's supposed to happen when your product appears on the Today Show. I remember just feeling so upset and hearing myself say, in the middle of all these conflicting feelings, "Don't be mad and don't be sad. Say thank you. Your product was seen by millions of people today. And it might not look like you thought it was going to look, but be grateful for it. Because when you say thank you, the doors stay open. And when you say, is that all? The doors close." I sat with that thought for a while. And then I remember saying, "All right, I'm going to be mad for 5 minutes." And I set the timer on my phone for 5 minutes and I cried. And then it went off and I thought, okay, thank you. I don't know what this experience means, but I'm just going to be thankful for it. Where did you go from there? A couple of days later, I got a phone call from another friend who asked if I have ever heard of Shark Tank. My first reaction was, not you too. She told me that she shared my Today Show link on her Facebook page and that she had a friend who was a casting director for Shark Tank. The casting director saw the post and thought my product would be perfect for the show. There was an open casting call that week in LA, and she invited me to come. What changed your mind about going on the show? I called my friend from college, the one who had been bothering me about applying, and told her about being invited to the casting call. I told her that I had no interest in that show. I mean, it really made my stomach churn every time I watched it. I said, "I just don't think that's for me." And first I thought, I know I'm not ready for it. This is my first year I've been selling and my sales aren't that big. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. I know nothing about business. I'm just too worried about going on TV and looking like an idiot. And she said, "Yeah, but what do you have to lose? Just go to their audition. It's a good experience." One day, I was all ready to do it. The next was full of doubts. The morning of the audition came and I talked myself out of it. And I came up with a million excuses like, "I'm not going to waste my time, drive all the way there, sit in traffic. I don't have anyone to watch my kids after school. What am I going to wear?" I was full of doubt. So I called my friend from college and I said, "I'm not going. This is stupid." She shot down every excuse I could come up with, told me to get my ass in the shower and drive down there, then call her when it was done. It was the kick I needed. I said, "Yes, ma'am." I went down, I met the casting director, and it was that simple. Next thing you know, I'm standing in front of 2 casting directors, and I have 2 minutes to pitch my product. So I pulled out my towel and said, "This is the Shono towel. It's a poncho towel, a bath towel, a beach towel, and a changing towel all in one." And I gave them my whole spiel. And they looked at me, and they were both smiling. They said, wow, we love it. And then they asked me some questions. What are your sales? What would you want to do with the money? And give me a little bit about your story. They must have eaten that up. Yes, I told them my background story. How my husband and I just lost our home and business in the recession, and how important a deal with the sharks would be for my family and I. They said, this is so perfect. You're perfect, and the story is perfect, and we love it. You're moving on to the next round. I went to a small private room, and there were about 15 other people in there, but there were thousands of people outside. Not too many people were getting through that door, and it's then that I realized, this is kind of a big deal. Not many people make it through to this small room. We all started talking, and it was funny, because one of the guys there had a wine aerator. He also made it to the show with his product called the Vinamore. He says, I've got a wine aerator. Does anyone want any wine? My arm shot up. I was the only one in the room that drank his wine, but I needed a glass. I was so nervous. Where did you go after that room? The next phase was to take you up to another room where there is a camera. They asked me to do the same exact thing, but now I had to do it on video. ABC executives would watch the video, so I had to give it everything I had. No pressure. So I grabbed my towel and went on and told my whole story. I wasn't sure how much I was supposed to tell, so eventually I just sort of stopped and I said, do you want me to keep going? And the cameraman smiled at me. He said, you have not stopped talking for 8 minutes straight. And I said, I know, I'm so sorry, I tend to go on. He said, no, that's good. Actually, that's really good. And then he stopped filming and said, you're going to do really well. I think this is going to work. I couldn't believe it. And honestly, it was maybe 1 or 2 days later they called me and said that I was being considered for the show. Some of the producers called me and they asked me for my 2-minute pitch. I needed to email it to them. And then they said that in 3 weeks I was going to be pitching to the Sharks. I was just a nervous wreck. My stomach was churning and I could not believe I was doing this. Every other day the producers would call and we would refine our pitch, talk about wardrobe, go over questions that could be asked, things like that. All along, they're telling you, you can be cut at any time. Now, just because we're working with you now doesn't mean that you're actually going to pitch to the Sharks, because first you have to get through your dress rehearsal. I had to video record my pitch and send them a YouTube link. Then they would give me notes on that. There were things I had to change. They wanted to see my props, my outfit, etc. It was just so much work. Every single day, I was waiting for their phone calls. Sometimes they would say, yeah, we'll call you at 3 o'clock. And then they didn't call until the next day at 10 when they said, oh, sorry, we didn't get to you yesterday. You're like crapping your pants because you're so nervous that these Hollywood producers are going to call you that you have your phone glued to you 24/7. The whole process was so nerve-wracking. I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, and I would just constantly sit and watch episodes of Shark Tank, every single episode I could get my hands on. And then I'd make notes. For every single episode, who got a deal, who didn't, what were the pros, what were the cons, why did they get the deal? I wanted to try and see patterns of who was getting deals and why. And I started noticing a pattern that people who asked for a lot of money had a harder time getting deals, and the Sharks were much harder on them. So when I noticed these patterns, I formulated how I wanted to structure what I was going to offer in order for it to be the most appealing to them. I didn't want to look desperate, but I wanted it to look appealing to them. So that's how I was able to structure my offer to them. How is your dress rehearsal? Our dress rehearsal was amazing. You basically say your pitch to producers and ABC execs, who then critique and provide feedback. Our producers said it was common to get lots of notes, things to change. So, not to be alarmed if that was the case, but we received none. After we did the dress rehearsal, the executive producer of the show, Clay Newbill, came up to me and he said, I want you to know, you are one of my favorite entrepreneurs of this whole season, and I am so excited to have you on my show. I was blown away. I didn't want any of this, and all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, I'm their favorite entrepreneur. It gave me a huge confidence boost. It was the most terrifying thing walking through those doors. As I was standing, waiting for them to open, I was freaking out, and it was extra nerve-wracking because I had my kids with me. So I had the added stress that most others don't of, what if my 5-year-old melts down? What am I going to do? The doors are about to open, and I'm holding my kids' hands, and I look to my producer, Laura, and she just looks at me and starts laughing, and she says, you're going to do great. When the doors open, boom, you're on. We start walking in, and we're smiling, and we go stand on an oriental rug, and it's terrifying to stand there in silence for a minute while they adjust the camera angles. Other entrepreneurs from the show describe that minute as the sharks sort of staring you down and they're trying to size you up and intimidate you. But it wasn't that way with me because I had my kids. My boys were smiling and the sharks smiled back to make them feel welcome. Once they said go, my pitch just spilled out of me because I had rehearsed it so much. It was an out-of-body experience for me. It's really the only way I can describe it. How was the interview? To be completely honest, I barely even remember it, although I can almost tell you every single thing that was said. I know that sounds strange, but it felt like an out-of-body experience. It was so bizarre. I felt like my spirit was doing the work for me, and I was just watching going, "You're doing good. Wow, you're kicking ass." I don't know how to explain it. Everything was just flowing. I was in a zone, and I was grooving. Every single thing they gave to me, boom, I had a perfect answer to come right back. I was completely at peace. I was just myself. I was able to connect with the sharks there. I know that they got me and I got them. There was just this really great connection. Robert Herjavec even said, "I don't know about the product, but I like you," which was kind of cool. I wasn't scared for a second when I was in there. I was just so confident and it came right through. I was confident without being cocky. I think that's a mistake a lot of people make sometimes. They go in there and they're sort of cocky, and cocky comes from your ego, while confidence comes from your heart and from your faith in knowing who you are and where you're going. I think I was able to exude confidence, and in that space, I did really well. Were the negotiations tough? I had three of them fighting over me. Damon gave me the first offer, and then Lori said, "I like you so much, I'm going to write you a check for exactly what you want." And then Mark Cuban came in and said, "I think it's worth more than that." I ended up accepting Lori's offer, and that was it. Why did you choose Lori? I thought that QVC would be the place for my product. I felt we could sell tons and tons and tons of these towels on QVC. And like most entrepreneurs, I also had other ideas and inventions in the back of my mind. So I thought, if I partner with Lori Grenier, it won't just be a towel. We can do other things together. I can keep selling other things with her. Also, I'm someone who believes that everything happens for a reason. When I first began prepping for the show, I imagined a deal with Damon or with Barbara. 4 days before I went in to pitch the sharks, my producers called and said, "You have a new shark on your panel. You have Lori Grenier." I had no idea who she was, but they told me she was the queen of QVC. I Googled her and I started watching her videos and I saw that she can sell. She was very impressive. I read her bio and there was so much about her that I connected with. I felt a lot of similarities with her. For example, she and her husband have been married for a really long time and they are business partners. My husband and I are the same. A lot of her philosophy seemed to connect with the way that I felt and it seemed quite serendipitous. I remember having this feeling that there were no coincidences. Why did they happen to bring Lori on my episode? I think she's on my episode for me, and that I'm supposed to be working with her for a special reason. The night before I went in, I had such a hard time sleeping. When I did fall asleep, I dreamt about Shark Tank, and it was as if I saw my whole episode, walking in there, seeing it happen, seeing Lori in a black dress, and doing a deal with her. I thought it was weird when I woke up, but when I walked into the tank the next day, she was wearing the same black dress, and I got goosebumps. I knew it was meant to be. Did you walk in with the idea that she was your best bet for a deal? I did. I thought if I walk in and I feel that connection with her, it's going to be her. And the minute I saw her and the minute we started talking, I felt that she felt it too. I was sort of stressed because there was a point where Mark Cuban had offered me $75,000 and Lori had offered me $50,000. She hadn't upped the ante, but she had a check in her hand. I knew I was going to take Lori's deal, but I thought I'd look like an idiot if I took a deal for $50,000 versus $75,000. In my head, I'm thinking, "Lori, please up the ante. Please up the ante so I can take your deal." And she did, thankfully. But to be honest, I probably still would have just taken it because I didn't feel that connection with Mark Cuban. What does he know about towels? How can he help me in terms of retail? I didn't see that connection and how we could work together, so he was never even really an option to me. Now that I look back at the experience, I think he would be a much better partner for me than Lori, but at the time, I just saw her in that QVC retail space. And with her manufacturing connections in China, I thought that she was a stronger candidate for me to work with. What happened after the camera stopped rolling? Were you in touch with them immediately, or how did that play out? The very next day, I got a phone call from Lori at noon. I was blown away. I was still in shock from the whole experience. I left the studio in shock, and I didn't even really know what shock was. But I was in this weird, zombie-like state, barely able to talk for the rest of the day. When she called the next day, she said how excited she was to work with me. I was just thrilled. She said, "You know what, Shelley? I've been given a lot in my life. Now is my time to give back. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to make your dreams come true." Those were her exact words. How could you ever forget something like that? My family and I were going through really tough times. We lost our business. We lost our home. We had been completely broke. And then the turnaround was to have this happen. It felt like such a blessing. I couldn't get over it. Before we hung up, she said, "Don't cash that check right now." Lori handed me a check for $50,000 during our taping the day before. I'm not sure how we are going to set things up. I thought absolutely nothing of it. We were partners. I handed her my heart on a silver platter and trusted her completely. I remember calling my brother-in-law, who was my attorney as well. He said, "No, no, no, Shelley. Things just don't work like this. I've been in business for too long. I just don't see this happening." I thought he was just being negative, so I started to question him about it. He continued, "You made a deal to give her 25% equity, and you have 75%. It's not going to happen. She's going to flip it, and you're going to be the one that ends up with 25%. She's going to get the 75." I was really upset that he would say that and completely disagreed. I reminded him that we did this deal on TV, on tape. She just couldn't do that. Right or wrong, we would cross that bridge when we came to it. I was ready to prove him wrong. I knew I could trust Lori, and she was going to do right by me. Did she? No. About 5 days later, she calls and asks, "Shelley, do you have any idea how much money I make?" "Excuse me?" were the only words that came out of my mouth. She continued, "Do you have any idea, like, what I would bill an hour? What I would make an hour?" I have no idea. I mean, I'm assuming it's a lot. No offense, but I don't really... Why? What does this mean?" I was totally confused. She said, "I don't work for 25%. How did you react? Okay, what does that mean? She said, "I'm taking 70% of your business and you're getting 30%. You know what? Shelley, your business is too new. There's nothing even done. You have no manufacturing. You have nothing. I would have to do all of that. There's no way I'm doing all of that work for 25%. It's not going to happen." Okay, Lori. I have to say, this kind of seems unfair because I had two other sharks make the same deal with me. Actually, Damon's was better. How would I know that they wouldn't honor the deal that they made to me? Now I'm stuck and it seems unfair. She got really mad. Shelley, are you kidding me? They wouldn't keep that deal with you, and none of them would work with you. I'm going to be your mentor. I'm going to work with you side by side. I felt scared that my deal was going away, so I started to back off. If she went away, I would have nothing, so I was stuck. I tried to justify what just happened to myself and thought, if we're selling it on QVC and we're selling it at Disney, I'll still be getting 30% of millions and millions, and that's okay with me. 30% isn't that bad. I immediately called my brother-in-law, and he was gracious enough not to rub the "I told you so" in my face. "Did you regret agreeing to your 30%? Well, about a month goes by, and I get a call from her. She tells me we're not going to do the 70-30 deal because we would need to form a new LLC, do a lot of paperwork, hire attorneys, etc. Instead, she wants to give me a royalty deal so I don't have to wait to make money, and I could make money after the first towel is sold. You're going to get a 4.5% royalty. A 4.5% royalty? I give over my whole company, everything to you, and I get a 4.5% royalty. I was thrown for a loop. Yes. I told her I had to talk to my attorney and that it did not seem like something I would be interested in. What did your lawyer say? He thought the whole idea was insulting. We all got on a conference call and he immediately began to voice his concerns and how he felt that I was getting a bad deal. Lori didn't like that. I was so nervous that he was going to piss her off and she would kick me to the curb. What would I have then? It was a rough phone call and nothing was decided. My attorney and I spoke later, and I told him that I was worried that he was going to ruin my deal for me. He said, "Tell her to pound sand, Shelley. You don't need her. She is not who you think she is. I'm trying to protect you. These people do not have your best interest at heart. She is not going to help you." Despite what he said, I still believed in her. She said she was going to make my dreams come true. She said she had a lot to give, and now was her time to give back. I believed it. I was in complete denial. I kept telling myself that I had to make this work. After all, it's going to be on TV in a few months. I did, however, agree with my lawyer that the 4.5% royalty wasn't going to work. I told her, "In that scenario, I'm giving my company to you. You could shelf it for 5 years and do nothing with it." We moved on to deal three. What about QVC? Very early on, I started getting the feeling that she didn't think this was going to go anywhere. I didn't realize this at the time, but she couldn't sell it on QVC. Kids' products just don't do well. They very, very rarely take kids' products on. The only time they take them on is occasionally at Christmas time. They don't like to take the risk. That was why it was not a slam dunk for Lori to work with me, but I didn't realize it at the time. What did your final deal look like? The third crack at a new deal was that she would give me a $75,000 loan based on purchase orders only. I wasn't going to get any money to start my business, no money for a website or inventory or advertising, marketing, or anything else I needed the money for. And that is what I need the money for. It's the reason I walked into the Shark Tank in the first place. I needed money to launch my business. The way it would work is if, let's say, Legoland gave me a $10,000 order. She would loan me the money to manufacture those towels for the order. Then I would pay her back plus an additional 5%. Then she was going to take 20% of every sale as a sales rep of sorts. I was making 30% margin, so 20% out of that meant I wouldn't make any money. My attorney brother-in-law saw that this was a ridiculous deal and that I would never make a dime from it. I knew he was right. But I also knew that I was not going to get my deal to put my towels in Disney unless I signed that contract with her. She made that very clear. It was a really scary and confusing time. I felt very alone and didn't know what to do. I would reach out to Lori to have her explain parts of the contract, and she would not reply. My brother-in-law was done with me not taking his advice, and I didn't blame him. I was terrified that I was doing the wrong thing. Basically, if I didn't just sign the deal, Lori and I would be done, and my episode might not air on TV. No Shark Tank. No national exposure. No Disney deal. Then it would all be over, and I would have gone through all this for nothing. Did you have anyone else you could reach out to? I did. I found myself having a panic attack, the first panic attack I had in my life. I called my producer from Shark Tank as a last resort, and I couldn't breathe. I told her that I was afraid to sign Lori's new contract because it was not a good deal for me, but that if I didn't, I wouldn't get my Disney deal. I was also afraid that my Shark Tank episode wouldn't air, and I asked her if she knew if that was the case. The producer was able to calm me down a little and told me she would call me back after talking to some other people on the production. She did, and I was grateful. "Okay, Shelley, you have to calm down. Your episode will likely air. Don't worry. Just relax. You're going to have to decide what to do about the deal. But don't worry, we're pretty sure your episode is going to air, and it has nothing to do with what you decide now." That night, I was a nervous wreck and I couldn't sleep. I made a decision. I wanted my product to be in the Disney parks, and the only way to do that was through Lori. If my episode aired and I didn't have a deal with her, I was worried that I would look like a fool. So I signed her deal. In my heart of hearts, I knew it wasn't going to work, but I figured, if I don't ask for the loan money from her, she's not going to ask for a payment from me. And that's basically what happened. She never gave me the loan money, and I never gave her a commission. The $50,000 check she gave me remains uncashed, an item that I have wanted to send back to the show, telling them to return it to the props department. Would you have gone on the show if you knew then what you know now? No. Not even to make a deal with someone else. It's so hard. I know I can't say I wouldn't, because there are other good things that have come out of it. It has changed my life. It has opened some doors. It's got me in a new direction. It's brought some wonderful things to me. So I take that back. Yes, I would. But if I knew what I know now, I would go into it without bringing my heart. I would leave my heart at home, and I would bring my business self forward and go into it with the knowledge that none of the sharks are there to help us more than themselves. I would go there for myself, show up as myself, and not care about pleasing any of them, and just try and make it a business decision. Lori did a business deal. She's all business 100% of the time. I came into it with my heart, and that was my huge mistake. Lori is who she is, and that's perfectly fine. I'm the one who tried to make her who she is not. I tried to make her into my savior, and I put her on this pedestal and was completely blinded to what was going on. She is not to blame. She is one of the sharks. The sharks are very clear about their purpose, making money. I chose to believe differently and got my heart torn to pieces in the process. It's my fault and no one else's. Everyone all around me was trying to throw cold water on me and slap me in the face and say, "Wake up, wake up." But I just couldn't. The dream just seemed so perfect. I just need to wrap this bow around it, and then it would be like, I have my happily ever after. And where is a better place to have a happily ever after than Disneyland, right? Was getting your product into Disney your happy ending? It was my driving force, since I saw it as my biggest potential deal. It's why I continued pushing forward, but it was not my happy ending. Long story short, when Disney was interested in the product, Lori insisted that the communications go through her. There was a meeting arranged with the Disney buyer in Los Angeles. Despite the fact that I lived close by, I was not invited. I was not privy to one meeting, conversation, or email between Lori and the buyer. When I asked Lori why I could not be involved, she would just say that I couldn't, and I would have to trust her. After I knew the meeting was over, I was on pins and needles. I hadn't heard a word. This went on for days, and I experienced a whole range of emotions in that time. When Lori called me a few days later, she told me that they were going to give us a trial run for 400 towels. That isn't huge, but it's not bad for a test run. They were going to start them in their theme parks, the water parks in Florida, Typhoon Lagoon, and Blizzard Beach. Now Lori wanted to do a follow-up segment for Shark Tank because no shark had ever had a same season follow-up video. She wanted to be the first shark to do that because it was her first season on the show. She had her follow-up segment scheduled before my original episode had even been aired. We filmed the follow-up in November, and my episode didn't air until February. We flew to Disney, and all the towels shown in the follow-up were handmade by me. The whole thing was pretty fake. The segment was the first and last time I ever saw that buyer. I do have to say that Lori paid for my family to be a part of that segment. Shark Tank had told us that they didn't have a budget for our follow-up, and that if we wanted to go to Florida, we would have to pay our own way. I thought that was ridiculous. We were going to film for their TV show. I told Lori that only I would be able to go. I could not afford to send my family. She told me to book the flights and she would pay. She did, and we were all very grateful. What was it like when your episode aired? I thought that my episode was beautiful. It was edited beautifully. I looked smart. The product was great. Everything went well, but after airing, my product didn't sell that well. Although I was disappointed in the sales, I have always known that you only get what you can handle. I feel like if I had a warehouse with 5,000 towels, then I would have sold 5,000 towels. But I only had 400 towels to sell, and in 2 weeks, they were all gone. After airing, I sold 200 towels. And then a week later, Lori went on The View to talk about Shark Tank, and they wanted her to bring on some products she invested in. I was asked for 200 towels for an audience giveaway. I told Lori that I could not afford to give away 200 towels. That would be a $4,000 giveaway and too steep for me. She told me to send them and paid for the shipping, and she sent me $2,000. I was very grateful. Did the Disney deal grow after the airing? After our follow-up aired, the towels went on sale at the water park in Disney World. For about 3 weeks, I called every day to see what their numbers were, and in about 3.5 weeks, they were sold out. I reached out to Lori to see what the next step was. She said she was unsure and that I should contact the buyer. I did, and received many conflicting replies. Her first reply was that the product didn't sell and they didn't know what they were going to do. I replied that all the towels were gone and had been sold out for weeks. What did she mean? She never replied to that. Again, I wrote asking for the next step. She then replied that she was waiting to hear from Lori. I informed Lori, who said that she was waiting to hear from her. I then informed the buyer, who told me that she was waiting to hear from Lori, who continually told me she was waiting to hear from the buyer. It was crazy. This went on for 4 months. I slept in my Mickey Mouse t-shirt almost every night. When I finally came to the realization that it was not going to happen and it was all made up for TV, I was devastated. Truly devastated. I contacted the executive producer of the show and told him everything that had happened and how upset I was. He told me that I could talk to the show's psychotherapist if it would help. I did. It helped, and I was grateful. Where did you go from there? After that happened, I emailed Lori, and I told her I didn't want to work with her anymore. There was no point. My towel was never going to be on QVC, Disney was not moving forward, and she didn't believe in or support my product. She never once posted my website on her Facebook page, or Twitter, or mentioned our story in an interview. And believe me, I listened to them all just hoping that she would throw one small bone, but nothing. I felt that I was being fed false hope, and false hope is really dangerous to someone who is desperate, and I was desperate. She called me and was very, very upset with me, but we agreed to go our separate ways. We have not talked since. It's important to note that Lori did manufacture those Disney towels overseas, and Disney is not an easy company to work with. There are so many regulations, and the whole process was extremely difficult. She and her husband put an insane amount of time into the project, and even though it didn't work out, I am grateful to them both for all they did to try and make it work. So, what is your happy ending? I am still writing it. It's a process. I realize that I may not have the happiest of Shark Tank stories, but I honestly am grateful for it. I am grateful for what I received and grateful for what I didn't receive. Remember that Garth Brooks song, Unanswered Prayers? Kind of like that. I think things worked out exactly as they were supposed to, and I'm grateful for it all. After my episode aired to over 6 million people and my product didn't sell well, I felt like a huge failure. I couldn't get out of my bed the next day in fear of confronting my reality. I heard this voice within say, "Get up and read your emails," but I didn't want to. I wanted to hide from the world. Again, I heard over and over, "Get up and read your emails," until finally I complied. I found message after message that said, "Dear Shelley, I have been dreaming of a business for 20 years, but have been too afraid to start. But if you did what you did with what you had, then I know I can too. You give me hope." And, "Dear Shelley, I was so excited to see you on Shark Tank tonight. We have the same story. My husband and I lost our home in the recession too. And I've been wanting to start a business, but have been too scared. You give me hope. Thank you so much. I believe in you." They went on and on and on, and I just sat there reading and crying. Then it hit me like a ton of bricks. I wasn't on Shark Tank to sell a towel. I was on Shark Tank to sell hope, and I did. I finally figured out that none of this was about a towel, but that everything worked out perfectly in order to point me in the direction of my dreams, and that this isn't the end of the journey, but the beginning of something so much bigger and better? What that completely means, I am still figuring out. But I'm working on a career as an inspirational speaker. I'm getting certified as a life coach, and I'm writing a book, and that's a good start. I am wrapping up my business after 5 years. It wasn't the tremendous success I hoped it would be, but it also wasn't a huge failure. I started my business on $0 and 100% faith, and ended up with a product in Disney parks, and I think that's pretty amazing. I found my niche selling to swim schools and work with a majority of major schools throughout the country. Shono didn't come to make me rich. It came to teach me some very valuable lessons. I learned them. Now it's time to move on and time to teach what I have learned. One huge lesson I learned is to not judge an outcome. There are no mistakes. Just because something doesn't look like you think it should doesn't mean it's wrong. It might just be different, and when you don't judge the different as wrong, it can actually be better than what you were imagining in the first place. Dreams don't always manifest overnight. They take time and nurturing and love to grow. When you are just able to say thank you for what's come your way, nothing that has happened to you is wrong. I thought my whole Shark Tank experience was wrong. I thought my deal with Lori was wrong. But I don't think any of it is wrong anymore. I did for a really, really long time. And I was super mad. This voice in my head would spin and say, "They got away with it. They got away with it. They got away with it. What a sham." It would repeat over and over, and I was stuck. When I was finally able to see it from a different perspective and see that this journey has nothing to do with a towel or a shark or a mouse named Mickey, I found my peace again and was able to move forward. This whole adventure has been like one crazy roller coaster ride. There have been exciting highs and devastating lows. There have been twists and turns that took me places I never thought I would go. There were times I was so terrified and I screamed for it to stop and let me off, but I was strapped in too tight, and the only way off was to keep going forward. So I did. And I found that once I tried to stop controlling the ride and just sat back and let it take me where it was supposed to, that it got a whole lot easier. I found that when I was grateful for the highs and grateful for the lows, that the ride didn't seem scary anymore, and I was able to get off. That being said, I am truly grateful for my Shark Tank journey. I am grateful for the whole experience, every single piece. I am grateful to Lori Grenier. She has been one of my greatest teachers. She did not teach me the lessons I thought she would, i.e. product development, retail, manufacturing, etc. Rather, she taught me some pretty hard lessons about life and things I needed to learn about myself. Through that, I have grown tremendously, and I know the lessons I learned, I am meant to teach. None of this was wrong. I was not meant to be a towel lady. I am meant to be a teacher, and the universe has given me everything I need to be that teacher. So it's time to move forward in the direction of my dreams, so much bigger and so much better than I could ever imagine. That's the space where I live. It is the space of miracles, and anything is possible. What a blessing. Shelly is available for speaking engagements. Email Shelly@showknow.com.